Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, I guess this afternoon, for the first half hour, is going to be Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. And we have Bob on. He supports our program. But we have him on from time to time because I think his message of being prepared for uncertain times is very important. The average American does not really look effectively at what's going on around him. Now, let me tell you, people in other countries are prepared because they know a cataclysmic event is going to come about, a nuclear or chemical or biological war. At one time, we had full preparation here. We had an active civil defense system. We had fallout shelters. We had people trained in case of a natural disaster. And then came the program of MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction. We won't make any plans in case there's a nuclear war, and the Russians won't make any plans. And if there's a war, why, we'll both be destroyed, so nobody would ever think about attacking the other side. Well, of course, we unilaterally went into this, and the Russians refused to. They advanced their underground shelters and stocked those with food and water, and they are still there waiting for the coming attack. Other countries throughout the world, certainly China, has a civil defense program. There are civil defense shelters in every school in Sweden, certainly in Switzerland. Many other countries throughout the world are preparing for a cataclysmic event. And here in America, we go blissfully along because nothing bad could ever happen to us. Why, God would not allow it. And he, after all, he's a loving God. Well, if God is a just God, why, one of these days he's going to bring his vengeance upon this country. He is a loving God. And he is, certainly sustains me and many people that I know. But he's also a God of the just, a God of justice. And the rain falls on both the just and the unjust. And with that as the background, Bob Griswold, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Doctor, for having me. I appreciate it. And I always appreciate your comments there to start the program concerning, you know, I think sometimes we look at God's judgment always as a bad thing, but in the light of, you know, the knowledge of Bible history, it really served the people who are being judged pretty well, because it's the only thing that ever made them repent, you know, change their ways, is that when they came under hardship. And for those who believe, it would be a very good thing if we start, you know, if things became hard and it drew us to caused, you know, to look at our lives and to evaluate where we're at. But I've told you, yeah, I have a unique advantage that a lot of people aren't afforded. I do work some consulting jobs that take me overseas frequently, and this world is arming itself to the teeth. I mean, that's the cold hard facts. You know, they're saying, I know the Middle Easterners think that sometime in June, July, we're going to attack Iran. Now, we might not, but then the Iranians think we are, so that makes, you know, them a little trigger happy. And you know, we have this nuclear issue with Iran, the nuclear issue with Korea. We have a nuclear issue with Pakistan, you know, that's kind of like let the secrets out of the bag to all kinds of different people.
Hold that thought right there for a minute, Bob. I'm going to just drop some of our stations and bring some other ones on right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources, and he sells products that will help you to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead. And certainly he's a supporter of Radio Liberty, but we have him on from time to time because I think his message is important. We have recurrent messages. One of them, of course, is prepare for difficult times. And another one, of course, is prepare for difficult financial times. And the other one is, of course, to prepare yourself for some sort of a chemical or biological attack. But probably a biological attack will be part of that. And so know how to build up your immune system. And these are recurrent themes of our program. But they're important things, and I believe it's worthwhile to repeat them over and over again. Maybe you've already made preparations. I hope you have. But if you haven't, at least start thinking about the things that you need to do in case this wonderful utopian world we live in suddenly, without any warning, is no longer there. It may only be just a temporary thing. It could be an earthquake. It could be natural disaster. We don't know what it might be in certain parts of the country. Hurricanes or volcanic eruptions or something of that sort. But whatever it would be, we should be at least temporarily, we should be preparing to temporarily look after ourselves. With that as a background, go ahead, Bob.
Well, again, I think you say it so well, Doctor. So I think anybody who takes a look at the situation the world's in today, you know, the increasing rate of natural disasters, definitely man's ability to cause unnatural disasters, you know, with the whole thing of our unlocking of biological codes and being able to produce more and more toxic chemicals and biological contaminants. In fact, you know, I personally believe that, you know, the SARS and, you know, West Nile, these things just didn't naturally occur.
Just by accident made up 5,000 vials of the second most deadly influenza virus known to mankind. The most deadly was 1918. The second was 1957. And they just accidentally made out 5,000 vials of that and sent it out all over the world. Do you think that happened just by accident? Is there anybody in the audience who thinks that this was not designed for a purpose, whether it was to frighten us to death? I don't know. Maybe it was to see what they could accomplish. But you don't make up 5,000 vials of the second most deadly influenza virus known to mankind and then set it out by accident. I believe that terrible, terrible times lie ahead, and you better start making preparations.
You know, I would like to...
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Well, I would like to state that, and you know, I want to state it kind of like for the record, doctors. I do believe that a lot of this is caused by man on purpose. There are people in this world that unfortunately believe that we are overpopulated on this planet, and I think these things will be employed at some time to bring about population control. I think they probably already are being used in some parts of the world today. And I know that a lot of people think. They draw back from a statement like that saying, well, that's too horrible to think, or that's just the raving of a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But, you know, I think if you look, why are we making them to begin with? Why are we concocting the most virulent strains the Russians had concocted a virulent strain of smallpox, blackpox, and it's 100% fatal, where normal smallpox is only 40% fatal. All you have to do is go into the book. You can get a book called Smallpox. And our CDC actually took monkeys that are immune to smallpox and found out how to make them so they could catch smallpox. So they, you know, I mean, they had to give them like a million times the dose so they could break down their immune system, these monkeys, so they could give them smallpox so they could make the disease hop from, you know, human to monkey. And this, it's just a matter of fact. I'm not making it up. You can read the books. It's there. And the things we do just to concocting more and more virulent and deadly strains of disease. And somebody has to ask, why? What is the sanity in doing such kind of research?
Well, I think that we really need to, of course, to ask, you know, where did the Marburg virus come from? Now, it's, of course, is over there in Angola, got 100% fatality. Where did it come from? Well, the first cases of Marburg ever described in history were described in 1967 in a place called Marburg, Germany. And where did they come from? Well, they came from laboratory monkeys that came from Africa. They were monkeys have been raised in laboratories and kept in laboratories, and then they were sent to Marburg, Germany, and they were to be isolated for 30 days and then killed so they could make a polio vaccine in the kidneys, because they grew the virus in the kidneys, and then they were going to ship it all over Africa. And of course, I believe it was divine intervention that the monkeys began dying, and then the trainers and the keepers of the monkeys began to die. And of course, then they realized that they had this terrible disease. They'd never encountered it before. It had never existed before, but it came from laboratory monkeys. And of course, eventually they controlled the epidemic. It was in three towns over there, and it was brought under control. I think about six or seven people died, and all the monkeys were killed, and about 30 people were infected. The figures are a little vague, but why did it start in laboratory monkeys? And then it disappeared, and suddenly it appeared in one area of Africa, and then another area of Africa, but it was never that virulent, and suddenly the latest strain that they've discovered in Angola and in adjacent Uganda is almost 100% fatal. See, how did this disease that started in laboratory monkeys become so lethal? And as Bob says, most people say nobody could be that horrible, and yet remember the Holocaust and the slaughter of 6 million Jews? That was done because the people in charge were evil.
You know, Doctor, the thing people don't want to think about is there's been 244 confirmed cases of Marburg in Africa. That's 244 chances for somebody to get their hands on one of those corpses. And again, this is macabre talking, and I know it is. It's a lot of people don't like to think of this, but it's 244 chances for somebody to get their hands on a corpse that has the perfect biological weapon in it. And if those corpses aren't disposed of, and all it takes is a blood sample out of their body, and you have something you can culture and make a horrendous biological weapon from that you can take anywhere in the world. Now, if you think that escapes our enemy's attention, that if all they have to do is go to Africa and find one of these people that have died or is dying from that and kind of whisk them away and then use the what's growing in their body as a biological weapon, people are naive if they don't think our enemies are, this is escaping their attention. This is the perfect chance to obtain a very, very, very virulent biological weapon in its rawest form and then to culture it and then to use it.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk about some of the things that you have that will help people making preparations for the difficult times, whether it be a nuclear war, whether it be certainly an act of God, whether it be biological or chemical. Why don't you tell them what you have that will help them, at least they should consider getting, and tell them about your catalog, which I have, and I've looked at it, and certainly you've got a lot of fascinating things in there that probably every neighborhood should have at least one sort of a Geiger counter, and you have all sorts of things to detect nuclear weapons and things to protect yourself from biological and chemical attacks.
Well, you know, Doctor, you're right. It is one of those things that the government used to provide for us. They used to have an active civil defense program in this country, and where they spent billions of dollars to make shelters and radiological equipment, detection equipment, to protect the American people. Unfortunately, it's gone by the wayside. You know, Doctor, you might not realize this. There used to be a program in the government called the Department of Civilian Marksmanship that if you went through it, the government would actually give you a World War II vintage semi-automatic rifle, an M1 Garand, because they believed that American people could provide an adequate defense if our country was ever invaded. In the Soviet doctrine, that was a major threat of them ever invading our country, is the fact that there were so many armed people. But again, those things have just gone by the wayside. So again, what we're faced with today is the ability of having to do it for ourselves if we want it done. How do you know when radiation's in the area? I mean, do you think that the nuclear power plants ruptured in some way? They're going to tell you. They didn't tell you when it happened to Three Mile Island. Obviously, the Soviets tried to hide it as long as they could, and millions became contaminated with radiation. Even people it came all the way across the ocean. So it's left to us, and that's what we have in our catalog. You know, a lot of products like that, and a lot of very reasonably priced for those who are on a budget. There are things that the government made one time, surplus meters and so forth, that are easy to purchase. Even if you have a group of neighbors that are friends, one could buy the meter and use it for all three of you could use it, or four, however many families. The equipment's there. The threat is definitely there, without a doubt.
How can people get copies of your catalog?
They can call us at 800-627-3800. 800-627-3809. Again, I'll say that. It's a free call, 800-627-3809. Or they can go to our website. It's simply just all one word, readymaderesources.com. You can email for the catalog. We do charge, if you've never ordered from us before, the catalog's quite thick and expensive. It's about $3 to post it to you. So we charge $5, which we do refund if a purchase is ever made. After that, we send it out for free to people who make the purchase. It goes out twice a year. That's how they can get the catalog, or if they just want to do some online shopping and look around and see what we have, they can go to our website at readymaderesources.com. There's also a lot of free information there. It's a link on the website called Important Information Links, where you can download some medical manuals, some technical manuals on different things. But you asked me what people should have in their home. Well, in a case of a biological weapon, self-quarantine is the best thing you can do. And in order to self-quarantine, I mean, not go out where you can catch a biological disease. I mean, even like the flu, you can help prevent the flu just by preventing contact with other people. You need to have food stored in your home. You know, if you don't have food, you have to go to the grocery store, and that's where you're going to be people. People are going to carry disease, and that's how you can contact it. So for a month, for two people, we sell a food supply of Alpine Air, which is one of the best food companies in the world, actually, that make long-term storage food. That's $298 for a month for two people. You sell the Big Berkey water filter. I can't stress enough. According to CDC, Center for Disease Control, 8 million Americans become sick off tap water every year. Now, also, you know, you should mention keeping ourselves healthy. Well, that's one way to keep us healthy, so our immune system's better off to fight any kind of disease we have. But should the water become contaminated, and there are very easy ways to contaminate the water supply. I'm not going to say them on the radio, but it doesn't necessarily. You don't have to go down to the reservoir and put poisons in it. And our enemies know how to do that. They know how to contaminate the water supply. Well, you could filter your water with a Big Berkey water filter. If you have to evacuate the area, we sell the Katadyn pump filters that you can actually fill it in a mud puddle and pump it like a little bicycle pump. It's about a foot long, and you can pump out biologically pure water. Those are two things that are absolutely essential. And, you know, even the federal government is recommending that Americans have food in their home and ability to filter their water.
I think the most amazing thing, though, is that we're really not getting any advice at all from the government, the Office of Homeland Security. They're putting $40 billion into it. And the major recommendation was plastic and duct tape. That was a real thing. And maybe a couple of days of food on hand. But none of the things that would really be necessary for the survival of the American people, if they wanted them to survive. You would think that they would be holding classes in every community on first aid and self-reliance and... But, of course, they don't want to do that.
That is the ultimate national security, to have the people of America prepared for anything. That is what that's what the 1950s and 60s mindset was, is to prepare the American people. Not to have supposedly vast sums of resources stuck in warehouses somewhere that will miraculously be distributed should an event happen. That's ridiculous. If the federal government spends 40 cents on every dollar in Social Security on overhead, do you think they can manage something effectively? Any business that spent 40% of its income on overhead would not be a business very long. They're horrible managers. They cannot manage things. They've proven themselves so ineffective at managing items. I mean, look at the federal budget. They've managed our money real well. They've managed our retirement program so well. They manage every program that they get involved with becomes a boondoggle. And so if you think that the government's going to be able to come in at that moment and do something to help out millions of people that could possibly be severely dislodged, I mean, there were severe circumstances, possibly nuclear, it's just not going to happen. And so that's what I like to stress to people. It's really left up to us to do it. There's no magic program out there that's going to solve problems when these things do happen.
Well, now, what is your website, Bob?
It's readymaderesources.com.
Readymaderesources.com. And it got a lot of great things up there. And even some free, there's a free book you can pull down on nuclear survival. Think about it. Begin making your preparations. Hope and pray that this never occurs. But understand that if something does happen, you're not going to be able to look to the government or to the bureaucrat or anybody else to look after you and your family. At one time, Americans were resourceful. Let's start, at least some of us, being resourceful again.
the Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-1.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we lost Bob, so I guess we'll have open lines the rest of the program. We were planning on it after the half hour anyway. And so if you have something you'd like to talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But I thought maybe we might talk about my newsletter from last year. It was the March 2004 newsletter. And it was covering a book that had been written by Paul O'Neill, who was the first Secretary of the Treasury during the Bush administration. The book was written by Ron Suskind, and I'm going to quote here, Suskind says that Paul O'Neill mentioned a cabinet meeting he attended in January and February in 2001, at which Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz outlined their plan to attack Iraq. Now, remember, this is January or February of 2001. This was 8 or 9 months before the 9/11 attack. O'Neill noted the question was not the why, but the how and how quickly. Donald Rumsfeld was focused on how an incident might cause escalated tensions, like the shooting down of an American plane in the regular engagement between U.S. fighters and the Iraqi aircraft batteries, and I'm quoting, the demonstrative value of a preemptive attack, masked with plans for how the world's second largest oil reserve might be divided among the world's contractors, end of quotations. And then going on with the quotation, beneath the surface was a battle O'Neill had seen brewing since the National Security Council meeting on January the 30th of 2001. It was Powell and his moderates at the State Department versus the hardliners like Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Wolfowitz, who were already planning the next war in Iraq and the shape of a post-Saddam country. Documents were being prepared by the Defense Intelligence Agency mapping Iraq's oil fields. One document headed foreign suitors for Iraqi oil field contracts, lists companies from 30 countries, their specialties, bidding histories, and in some cases, their particular areas of interest. An attack document maps Iraq with markings for supergiant oil fields or other oil field, and earmarked for production sharing while demarking the largely underdeveloped southwest of the country into 9 blocks. To designate areas for future oil exploration. Now, I'm just quoting directly from page 96 of the book. The desire to dissuade countries from engaging in asymmetric challenges to the United States, as Rumsfeld said in his January articulation of the demonstrative value of a preemptive attack, matched with plans for how the world's second largest oil reserves might be divided among the world's contractors, made for an irresistible combination. Already by February of 2001, the talk was mostly about logistics. Not the why, but the how and how quickly. Rumsfeld, O'Neill recalled, was focused on how an incident might cause escalated tensions, like the shooting down of an American plane and the regular engagements between U.S. fighters and Iraqi anti-aircraft batteries, and what U.S. response to such an occurrence might be. Wolfowitz was pushing for the arming of the Iraq opposition groups and the sending in of U.S. troops to support and to defend their insurgency. Ladies and gentlemen, this was all planned ahead of time. And when they tell you, we thought that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, we had to attack to defend the American people, when they said that, they were lying. Because if you studied the CIA, it said, we didn't tell them that. They got their own intelligence. And they came up with people who would say exactly what they wanted to say to justify going to war. And that is the history of all of the wars that we're involved in. They are planned ahead of time. They are, of course, fought for far different reasons than the young men who are sent overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die are ever allowed to. And, of course, if you read Bertrand Russell, and he was one of the great intellectuals, part of this little small group that rules the world, you read pages 50 and 51 of his book, The Impact of Science on Society, he will tell you how we have to have a certain number of children born in the world, we have to control population, but we need a certain number of people for cannon fodder. Now, if you find that that is just too horrible to contemplate, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the pages from his book. It's at the bottom of page 50, the top of page 51. They, the intellectuals, refer to our boys, our sons, our brothers, our fathers, as cannon fodder for their wars. Understand what you're up against. You're up against organized evil. And then to help us oppose it. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty and welcome your calls.
four tapes out on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory's going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is gone, so it's going to be open lines for the rest of the hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you agree, you disagree. Maybe you think that we had to go in there to bring democracy. Maybe you think we had to go in to get rid of Saddam Hussein because he was a wicked fellow, which he certainly was. But remember, we financed him all during the 1980s, right up until the first Gulf War. If we want to go after wicked people, how about the fellow over there in North Korea or the dictator in China where they kill people and sell their organs, or maybe even the rulers of Saudi Arabia, where they cut off hands and feet and necks and behead people, you know, for speaking out against the government or violating Sharia law. Well, let's get to Patrick on line one. Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Hi. I had a question. I've voted for Ralph Nader twice in the last two elections, and now I'm hearing some bad things. I'm not really hearing the gist of it as of... You know, who is he really working for? What's going on?
Well, I think that Ralph puts out some very interesting things, but I certainly would not vote for him for the president because he doesn't believe in the Constitution. He's a radical leftist, and I think that you, unfortunately, you didn't have much choice. You did have one excellent candidate, that was Michael Perutka, coming from the constitutional point of view. But, of course, you didn't hear about him at all. The media kept talking about the three candidates, Bush, Kerry and Ralph Nader, and they kept talking about Ralph Nader because they wanted you to vote for him to take votes away from Kerry, because the people who control the media even though they controlled both Kerry and Bush, they really wanted Bush to win. So, because he is going to discredit Christianity, going to discredit the Republican Party, and of course it's statement that it stands for less government and control spending and doing away with the budget. He's doing exactly the opposite. And of course he talks about being pro-life, but see what he does. I mean, how many abortions have we stopped in the United States since he's there? He could have stopped it by an executive order. He certainly has some of the judges he's appointing are the ones he appoints a pro-life judge are ones he sure won't get through the Senate. And then, of course, he's appointed a whole lot of very moderates. He's gone into the UNESCO. He's funded International Planned Parenthood. He is actually, you know, funding the whole world population control movement, which is basically abortion and killing off the unborn. So they say one thing, they do another. And
right.
But if you right, really right, want to right. understand, you need to see my latest newsletter. It's called right. The Myth of the Two-Party System. Patrick, you were had.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your perspective sounds more like a blue dog Democratic type of perspective. I mean, I do agree with you. I mean, I just wish I could know more about what, you know, who Nader's really working for. If he's
been funded through the past by great foundations, or they're funded by the establishment, he's part of the controlled opposition.
It's just so hard to believe.
Oh, well, I know, but do you
have that is very hard to believe. Now, Bush is easy to sell. I mean, I know all about that. I know all about Clinton. I know all about, you know, I know all about Kerry, skull and bones versus skull and bones. I know all about that, all the insides and outs. But I haven't really been told enough information about what's going on with, you know, Ralph Nader, who's behind that.
It's just
speculation, and I'm not hearing any solid evidence. I'm not debating with you. I'm just saying I wish I could, you know.
All right. Well, I followed Nader for many years, and he's always been funded by the great tax-exempt foundations and the great corporations under one guise or another. What he is supposedly their opposition, and a lot of the information he puts out is absolutely right.
What organizations are they?
He's been funded. He got a large sum of money from Ford Motor Company at one time because supposedly he was investigating Ford and Ford was investigating him, and they must have been doing a pretty good job with their investigators because he picked up on this and he.
So he's not taking the money and running with it. He's being used.
He's being used by them. You see, the whole idea is you want to control
opposition.
He's working
with them. They're working together, what you're telling me?
What I'm saying is the best thing you do, you want a controlled opposition. So during the Second World, during the Vietnam War, why the anti-war movement was being financed by the very people who were pushing the war.
Right.
And if you look and see many of our anti-communist and conservative and even Christian organizations, maybe they started out, you know, very right and proper, but before long they were taken over people who were on the other side and used as a controlled opposition. And when I say the other side, I'm talking about the establishment, the Brotherhood of Darkness, which we write about and talk about. They want an opposition, but they want one they can control. And that's what Ralph Nader is.
So who the heck are we supposed to vote for? I mean,
you were supposed to vote for Michael Perutkin. You didn't do it. And you probably didn't even know who Michael Perutka was.
You're talking about the Libertarian?
No, I'm talking about the Constitution Party.
The Constitution Party. Right. Well, I kind of have some disagreements with the Constitution Party.
All right, well, that's right. Well, then you could vote for the Libertarian Party.
The Libertarian Party is more like the conservative. I mean, not conservative, but more like another Republican Party.
All right, well, I guess you just don't get to have anybody to vote for it, but thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Maryland in Sacramento.
Yes, well, I'm happy to have the Constitution Party, the American Independent Party. It's a wonderful blessing what they've done for us to give us a voice, because they're the only ones who are steadfast on the issue of illegal immigration or immigration gone awry. Anyway, so I just urge that person to, if he wants answers, just keep running down the trail of everybody else and try to figure out how it could be happening like this. How could these things be happening over and over again, the same thing? How could we be on this path? You've got to look at what makes sense and what doesn't. We're given brains, and we're given the power of reasoning, and if we don't use it. Too bad for us.
But I'll tell you what, the other side is just so clever. And sometimes they create some of the most patriotic organizations that say everything we want to believe. And we want to believe that they're just what they purport to be. And, of course, it's only later we find out that, once again, we've been had. I don't know, Marilyn, whether you've got my latest newsletter, but it's called The Myth of the Two-Party System.
No, I haven't received it, but I'm glad you're addressing that. But I want to mention something when you have a chance. I'd like to hear your comment on this Schiavo murder. That has been so heart-wrenching to me, and now the idea that that Dr. Dr. Death, is going to use this against the Republicans. Can you imagine? I mean, this guy belongs, he's worse than Scott Peterson or O.J. Simpson or the rest of the wife killers out there. He not only killed her, but profited from it, tried to pull her feeding tube three times and finally succeeded, and then wouldn't even let her parents have the remains, but claimed he was following her wishes by having her die, and still he got the money.
Well, I think that, of course, what you have to understand is that in America, you would go to prison for starving a cat or a dog to death. I mean, you just don't do that, but it's all right to do it with a human being. This was euthanasia. Now, you know, even if a person wants to commit suicide, you can't help them commit suicide. There are laws in Florida against assisted suicide.
Well,
and yet, of course, those were not enforced in this case, because you have to understand this was used. It was used by the media to dramatize the problem of the useless eater, the person whose life has no significance at all, and to get us to say, well, if you look at her, would you want to live like that? I sure wouldn't want to live like that. And then you say, well, from a purely utilitarian point of view, why, maybe she'd be better off dead. And even though if you rationalize that, you could almost talk yourself into it, but what we ignore is God. And once we begin making these decisions on our own, and ignore God's admonition of the sanctity of human life, why, of course, we leave ourselves open for all sorts of terrible, terrible mistakes. And it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what Michael Schiavo thinks. It doesn't even matter what the judge thinks. It's what does God say about the value of human life? Thou shalt not kill. But we've taken that out of our courts, haven't we? You can't even post the Ten Commandments in a courtroom. And yet, of course, if we take out God's admonition against murder, then when is it all right to murder and when is it wrong to murder? Maybe it's all right to murder under certain circumstances. And what has happened? This country has turned against God.
Woe is every old person in a nursing home who has a little money to be inherited when they pull a feeding tube, because they stick it in way before they're ready. And then they... Who knows when they pull it out or what excuse. Grandma said she didn't want to live that way. Anyway, okay, Dr. Stan, thank you for your comments, and thank you for all your work that you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Marilyn. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So give us a call if you have something that you'd like to talk about, because sometimes I think some of the better, more interesting programs are those where we simply have open lines. But if you look at the way this Schiavo case, Terry Schiavo case, was controlled by the media, and it was a media spectacle. And of course, you remember, of course, the attorney for Michael Schiavo, and he comes on and he says, "She's so peaceful. And she's not having any pain." But nobody pointed out that started an IV morphine drip on her. Well, if she wasn't having a morphine drip, then the only reason they would have, given her the IV morphine drip was to kill her. Or if she was having pain, that man was lying. And of course, you know he was lying. I mean, the whole idea was to give you the idea, using the mechanism of television, controlling your mind. What a peaceful way to die. We're just going to starve you to death and dehydrate you. But it's not painful at all. And where was our leaders telling us, well, then if that's true, why is she on a morphine drip? And nobody ever asked that. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Dr. Stan. And you?
I'm doing great.
I'm calling because of yesterday's program on World War One.
Right.
Which I found, wow, that was good. I was wondering if you would be able to recommend a particular book that would provide the best analysis of World War One, World War Two, and Korea, or three separate books, one for each.
Well, I don't know that there is any one book. I mean, I've got a whole section of my library on World War One, and none of them tell the whole truth. Because you can't understand a World War One unless you understand it was planned long ahead of time. It was Bertrand Russell, in his autobiography, tells about attending a meeting at the Coefficients, which was a little secret society he belonged to, made up of the financiers of England and the Fabian Socialists, because the Socialists worked with the bankers together. And he was attending this meeting, and it's all described in a book laid out called An Experiment in Autobiography by H.G. Wells. But Bertrand Russell writes in his autobiography where he tells about attending this meeting and hearing Sir Edward Grey, who would later become the foreign minister, would bring him into the war. And he was talking about how they were going to get the war going back in 1906 or 1905 or 1906, because it was before Grey became the foreign minister. So it was all planned ahead of time. Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, of course, you'll know, of course, that this thing was laid out ahead of time. Certainly, I have an interview with Norman Dodd, who was the director of research for the Rees Committee. He tells about how the Carnegie Foundation was actually planning in 1908 that the best way to bring about world peace was to bring about a war. That was how you're going to change the society. And of course, in 1908, they planned on that, creating a war. In 1909, how are you going to get America into the war? And of course, have you seen my video or read the syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story?
No.
I think that probably as much as anything, that gives you a pretty good background. The fact that this war was all planned ahead of time, and we refer, of course, to the book written by the German Kaiser, who tells you he was actually told that the Masons had planned this, and even has a whole section about how the Masons had planned it. And then Dr. Dennis Cuddy wrote a wonderful treatise, I think it was master's or doctor's thesis on basically the people behind the Black Sand Society that assassinated Archduke Ferdinand. They were Masons. The Masons were involved in this thing, and all of the various aspects of the secret societies wanted the war. Because it was going to bring about the League of Nations. At least that was the initial plan. Of course, it didn't work, and so that's why they had to get World War II going. Korea was actually brought about by the remarks that were made by Dean Acheson. You'll find this in MacArthur's book, Reminiscences. Dean Acheson, the Secretary of State, went to the press club and said, "If North Korea attacks South Korea, we won't defend it." And then the Joint Chiefs of Staff said, "If North Korea attacks South Korea, we won't defend it." And poor old Kim Il-sung, the dictator of North Korea, actually believed him. And when he attacked them, we were in the war. But you see, we had to get into the war. I mean, after the Second World War, we turned Eastern Europe and China over to the communists. There were a lot of people across the country who were saying, there got to be communists and traitors in our government. And John Kennedy had given a speech saying, you know, our boys fought for freedom in the Second World War. And what they had gained, why our leaders had sacrificed, and that quotation is in MacArthur's book. And then, of course, as soon as North Korea attacked South Korea, we went to war. But it was a distraction. It was a distraction so the American people would quit asking, do we really have communists in the White House? We didn't have communists. We had the people who were financing communism in the White House, who created communism and continue financing it today. And that is what Professor Quigley refers to in his book, Tragedy and Hope, as the Anglo-American establishment. Hey, we got to go, but there's no real good book, and I've got 50 books on the subject, and nobody tells you the whole story.
Thanks so much.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to Eric calling from Compton. We only got a minute, Eric. Quick question.
Oh, Dr. Stan, no. Just wanted to say hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, it's good to hear from you. How's things down in Compton?
You're doing just fine, I guess. I just wanted to respond to that caller who had such a hard time believing things. I understand how he feels. Sometimes your eyes just won't believe what your mind can't conceive. But this stuff, the problem is it's spiritual deception, and I think you have a lot of people who probably listen to your program who aren't saved, Dr. Stan, and it's really hard to believe how evil these people are. You know, man wants to write volumes of books about why there's evil in the world, and I was reading the Bible one day, and God summed it up in one sentence: "The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jeremiah 17:9.
Amen to that. You're right on. God bless you, Eric. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you, Dr. Stan.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this program right here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
This is...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I have to mention that our programs are primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent on those of you who listen to us from out across America who believe there's a problem and believe that we need to reach as many people as we can in the time that we have given unto us. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at that number. We'll get you, I'd suggest, perhaps our latest newsletter, which is The Myth of the Two-Party System. You must understand how they always create a dialectic. They have two forces in opposition, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the anti-communist movement, the communist movement, the Christian movement, the anti-Christian movement, the liberal movement, the conservative movement. And, of course, so many of these organizations have either been created or have been taken over by the other side. And today, even the war, anti-war movement in this country, I believe, is being financed and controlled by the very people who are pushing the war. That way you can be sure that there will be no uncontrolled opposition, and that everything, of course, will be played out, and people will expend their efforts out marching up and down, but will accomplish absolutely nothing. Because the ultimate goal, I believe, is to take us into World War III. And I believe it's not only their plan, I believe it is truly prophetic at this time in history. I believe everything is following a master game plan. And as Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. If you have not yet read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it either by itself or along with the video. So you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness book, the video or the audio tape, or get all of them together as the Brotherhood of Darkness special. It will give you tremendous insight into what's going on. To understand the wars that we've been engaged in, the reason for the Boer War, the reason for the Spanish-American War, and then the First World War and the Second World War, and Korean Vietnam, and the First Gulf War. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and get the video, Iraq, The Untold Story. And then, of course, there's a syllabus that you can get with that, and you get it at a decreased price if you get both of them together. But it will give you an understanding, a good overview of history, and, of course, the sources you can go to check to determine whether this incredible story is true or not. They were able for many years to conceal the reasons for the First World War. So many people thought that we went to war. Well, initially we went to war because, of course, of the wicked Germans who were cutting off the breasts of women and chopping off the hands of little Belgian boys. And when that turned out all to be a lie, why then we went to war because, of course, the German Kaiser was such a wicked man. And then of course, we went to war so the capitalists could make money. It was all about the capitalists making money. Well, certainly a lot of people did make a lot of money, but that wasn't the reason we went to war. We went to war because there's a small group of people who believe in a world government. And the only way you were going to get the people willing to go along with government was to have such a horrible bloodbath that people would relinquish their national sovereignty and their traditions and their culture and join into the world government. And after the First World War, the people of Europe were ready to do that. But America wasn't ready to go, which meant that we would have to have a second Great World War. And today, why, most people here in America still aren't ready to go into the world government, and that's why World War III is inevitable. And why we are doing everything we can today to antagonize the entire Islamic world and the rest of the world to turn them against us in preparation for the coming Holocaust. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same, or I guess Monday now. May the Lord be with you.